previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
I can't wait till next week when we become an all-wrestling show.
So I found this, and I wasn't paying attention to anything you said for the last half an hour, but this is fascinating.
I tried watching wrestling. It went as well as the movies.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar.
I'm Eric Sandin.
And together, we make the most dangerous wrestling stable that's ever been seen.
Do we have a name?
No, that is the name. The most dangerous wrestling stable that's ever been seen. Sad thing is, we can't back that up at all. No. It's the worst part about that.
All right, we'll have the audience match
first.
Our stable name.
So I went to Hawaii, and then I came back, and that meant that it gave you two extra weeks.
Good story.
Two extra weeks to watch the movie that Eric picked, 444. Yeah. Have you both seen it?
I have seen it today.
I have seen some of it.
It's probably the best I could hope for at this point.
My story
from the man
today
who
was,
picked it.
I took the train. Hey, I spent money to get back here in time to watch that movie. I actually had to take an Uber from the train.
Wow.
Yeah, to be fair.
Go ahead.
That's true. I was about to say, to be fair, this is definitely a movie you can't watch on the train.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remembered that as I was like putting, I opened up Netflix and then I was like, Jonathan said no. Okay, I'll wait.
Yeah,
if your train frequently has Willem Dafoe revealing his pubes on it, then I guess it's okay.
Okay, wait a second now. This movie is 82 minutes long. 82 minutes long. There's like a 9 minute or like a maybe a 5 minute sex scene in the beginning of the movie. And then the woman is somewhat topless regularly in the movie. By regularly, I mean like there's like a 10-second interval and another 10-second interval. So if you just skip the first 9 minutes, you would have been fine, I think.
Yeah, which I wish I'd realized once I got home, because I did fast forward through the first 5 minutes of that sex scene because I was trying to rush. And I'm like, well, this is
probably
like
the best way of getting through that, because that was a very uncomfortable sex scene. So let's explain what we do on this show. We decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow, but instead to watch really awful movies to test our attention spans. And then the goal is to watch a film with no distractions, no second screens, no other people, no alcohol, and see how far you can get into one of these movies, dedicating your full attention to it. At that point, when you give up, you write down how long you lasted, and then you can either walk away or you can watch the rest of it with as many distractions as you like. We have done this for numerous films. This week it was 444, The Last Day on Earth, an apocalyptic film. So I revealed when I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, when I told you it was not a bus movie, that I lasted 4 minutes and 44 seconds into it. How about you, Ayaz?
Well, sorry about that. I missed the mute there. I was already watching something else. I already had a second screen. So if we added another thing, because, you know, I was taking feverish notes. It's about 9 minutes in after that sex scene where I paused it. I'm like, how long has this movie been going on? And it's 9 minutes.
You started with a second screen already playing.
Well, not playing. I was taking notes. But
Oh, okay. Taking notes is legitimate.
Yeah, so I had it on my computer because we have made the rules more relaxed, because if we didn't lax the rules, I would never finish a damn movie or even get one of these things started. So that's why. I also wanted the show to keep going. Eric, how about you?
If we count skipping the sex scene, then I made it about 12 minutes in.
Okay, it's not bad.
No, it's actually much better than I did. So the premise of this film is that there's a cataclysmic environmental event where the ozone layer is essentially depleted to the point where somehow all life on Earth is going to be extinguished at 4:44 a.m. Eastern time, I guess. Maybe.
Seems that way. Yes, it was. That's correct.
The actual mechanism of the Earth's destruction is never actually revealed. It's not important for the movie. So while I would love to spend some time going bonkers over how dumb an idea it is that all life on Earth would die simultaneously at 4:44 a.m. Eastern time because of a hole in the ozone layer, that's not really the point of the movie. They just needed to say the Earth was going to end at 4:44. Also, to make a few kind of jabs at the lack of care that people have given to the planet. That's part of the many overlapping commentaries that are in this movie. After the sex scene has happened, there's a long stretch of this film where there's no dialogue. It's just all these different like radios and TVs that are tuned to different things, all playing simultaneously in this guy's apartment, where you're getting bits of like political information, philosophy, environmental stuff, the news. And it's all essentially like this kind of cacophony of information that I guess is supposed to say something about humanity and existence, but honestly, I just found it tiresome and dull.
Yeah, so since Eric hasn't finished the movie, if you ever, you know, if the world was ending, this is one of those movies you would watch because it just felt like forever. It just takes so long for anything to happen. And like, yeah, there's a sex scene in the beginning and it's not exciting or interesting. And I think the most interesting thing happens in 45 minutes into the movie, and I'll explain that if I go through one of three different versions of my notes. Because when I'm watching the movie, because I'm trying to stay engaged, I write lots and lots of notes. And I have so many notes that basically go nowhere, because in so much of this movie, nothing happens, that I'm like, I'm not reading this. I'm going to cut out parts. And so I have a semi-edited version where I take out some of the junk, and then I have a totally edited version where I try to explain what the hell happens in the movie with a couple of notes.
I say it's dealer's choice because I didn't take any notes on this one.
Well, Eric picked the movie. What the hell do you want to listen to?
I mean, it seems like your revised notes sound great. I mean,
all right, we'll do the. We have two revised versions of this. I'll go with the middle ground one. Okay, semi-edited sure. Edition. All right. Here we go. This could be a while. 4:44, IFC film. Starts off with sitar music. Yep, this is the right movie. 4:44, Last Day on Earth. Amazing so far. Credits. White on gray. Okay, so someone's watching or listening to someone play sitar music on an iPad. We get to a room where a woman is painting canvas on the floor. A man walks into that room. It's Willem Dafoe. He's shaving. His name is Cisco. Sky is the woman. Sky wonders why Dafoe is shaving. He said, it's for her. News guy on the television says, the end will be sudden. Good to know. Cisco calls Dee Dee on Skype. No answer. This is riveting so far. Dafoe continues to shave and walk around. Okay, so we got two people preparing to die, and now they're kissing because why not? I think they're going to have sex on the floor. Sky's taking off Cisco's clothes, and we're seeing plenty of Dafoe pubic hair. Thanks for that. Now Sky is moaning. The sex scene is shot very tight. So much belly button on TV. And then there are boobs and even more simulated sex. This is a long scene, and it's over. We're 9 minutes into the movie now.
Sky goes back. One quick note. Sky was played by the girlfriend of the director. Please go on.
Okay. Sky is back to painting. She's listening to the guy who was playing the sitar earlier. So it's kind of like a guru or something. Cisco is annoyed that Sky let him sleep, which makes sense if it's the last day on Earth, right? Because you want to be alive for that. So we skip to a bunch. We find out that Cisco has a child. Newscaster explaining he doesn't want to spend his last moments on air. He says Al Gore was right. We're fucked. That was not his line, but that's what he explains. Reporter says we're going to show you live camera shots until the end because he's not going to sit there. Skip a whole bunch. Now Cisco is talking to himself on the roof deck about trees. Most amazingly, this makes me want to have Popeye's chicken, which I haven't had in a long time. Because
there's a, a Popeye's chicken across the street from their apartment.
Yeah, it's a great shot because the way this movie is shot, it's like they didn't tell anybody else they were shooting it. So like everyone's being normal. So people are getting Popeye's chicken, this McDonald's, that's going on. Anyway, I still would like some Popeye's chicken. Defoe yells, "We're all going to die. We're already dead," to no one in particular. So whoever can hear around him. Defoe sees a dead man in the alley. He yells at the people putting a cover over the dead guy, saying they should light a candle instead. Defoe then sees his landlord from his vantage point. He starts swearing out the landlord. That seems a little interesting. All right, I'll skip a whole bunch. Someone is buzzing the doorbell. It's delivery. Food delivery on the last day on Earth. That's pretty awesome, actually. And then I started wondering, hey, do you even bother to collect money? I mean, is there any point to that? So Cisco asks the delivery guy's name. The guy's name is Chung. Chung seems depressed. Go figure. Cisco offers him food. He pays Chung with a $100 bill and another and another and another. Because why not? It's $400 the last day on Earth. So that's not so bad right there. Cisco asks if he can do anything for Chung. Chung says Skypey. He wants to use Skypey. So Chung goes in and signs into Skype. I appreciate that all the infrastructure is totally intact because we're going to have a sudden death, that is. Chung talks to a man and woman on video chat like you do. No translations as to what's going on. Sky says Chung is calling Vietnam. A kid is brought into a frame and he's crying on Skype. Did someone tell the kid the world was ending? He's like 8. Why would you tell him that? That's very annoying, but he just seemed very upset. Now more guitar music because at one point was talking to a friend on Skype and they were playing just really shitty guitar. So more guitar music, more sky painting. The guitar music sounds like you're fooling around before you learn how to play slide guitar. Cisco gets to talk to his daughter JJ on Skype and manages to have a conversation with his ex. JJ's mom says JJ's mom says that Cisco shouldn't be upsetting her like this. Cisco asks why JJ's mom is bothering to stay mad now. They are now arguing about who left who and why. None of this matters now because they're all going to die. What difference does it make? Cisco says he left and he was confused. The mom says he ran off with a teenager and he needs to grow the fuck up. That's a quote. Cisco says something brilliant. I love this one. This is the best part of the movie, okay? And there's not a whole lot to actually go with. Cisco says to the ex-wife about Sky, "You think I love her more than you?" Attacks Cisco and just starts screaming. Tries to smash the computer. At least that's what it looks like. His ex-wife is laughing maniacally as Defoe is holding up the laptop. Sky finally then gently closes the laptop after struggling with Cisco. I'm laughing out loud now only because something finally happened in the movie. 45 minutes into the movie, the next line of dialogue, Sky yells, "I need to speak to my mom, or to my mother." So they have a conversation. Cisco goes on an adventure. I have to edit this even more. He goes on an adventure and goes through a fire escape, meets up with Natasha Lyonne, I think, and a bunch of former drug users. Let's see. One guy says he's been sober 20 years. They're talking and no one cares. Now Cisco is headed back home. And we stay in the apartment for a little bit about, did you give him drugs? Did you give Cisco drugs? Because Cisco didn't take any alcohol or drugs, or at least didn't do it in the scene. All right. Sky's at home looking at her mess of a painting. Ain't That a Shame, the song, continues to play. And here comes Cisco heading home. Defoe appears on a security camera, because that's how this building works, and looks just like the Green Goblin. It's amazing. Just absolutely terrifying. That's what my notes say. Cisco says he didn't mean what he said. He wanted to get his ex to understand. You're not like her. That's one of the reasons I love you. Forgive me. And Sky takes his hand. Next scene, they're cuddling or having sex very slowly. Sky says, "Come inside me." I guess that answers that. Okay. Bathroom scene. It's really slow. And I'm like, what's happening? Bathroom scene. Defoe is ready to shoot up some drugs. Sky walks in and takes his drugs. Cisco wants his drugs back, but Sky won't give them back. He says, "We will throw it out together," then tries to take the drugs from her closed fist. Sky yells, "You're hurting me." So Cisco pushes Sky back to get the drugs. Cisco looks at Sky crying, and he lets the drugs drop to the ground. Sky is looking out the window, and the actual Sky, you know, the thing outside, looks green and misty, slightly ghostly. Fade to Sky taking off her shirt. She's topless again and putting on a snazzy dress. She puts on lipstick, admires her painting. It's going to be some kind of dragon goat thing of some kind. Now there's a bunch of other footage going on, seeing other people on their last day. One man is sharing a steak with his dog, because why not? And I have it here. That might have been the better movie if that's all we watched was this guy and his dog, because he seemed pretty cool. Another man takes a shotgun, shoots it in the air. Sky, the person, continues to paint. The TV has gone staticky. Sky isn't phased. Lights are off everywhere. Sky screams for Cisco. They hug. One window blows out for some reason. They hug on the ground. Finally, we see a clock. It's 4:40 a.m. Fireworks are going off. Is this happening now? Cisco and Sky kiss a little bit. A baby is chilling with a cobra. I'm not making that up. There's a church scene. Now we're looking at some painting. A church, gold statue, green sky. It's basically stock footage palooza. 4:42 a.m. Yes, we're getting close. And it's just like a still on Defoe's face. Then Sky's face. She's thinking about baby pictures, standing as a child. They're back to back. Now we're back to the guy who's playing the sitar, explaining the connection of living things. We have a voiceover saying, "We're together, don't be afraid." More stock footage. And then Sky continues to talk until we finally fade to white as Sky says, we were angels already. And that's the whole fucking movie.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary of a pretty awful movie. I mean, this is a movie, this is a very arty movie that is trying to say something with yes, I think so. Oh, it's Abel Ferrara. It is an arty movie that's trying to say something in capital letters, but I don't think it says anything profound, because the message appears to be, when the world is coming to an end, spend it with the ones you love. And you're like, okay, that's kind of apparent on the very face of it. You're not telling me anything I don't know. I guess it's somewhat interesting that so much of the world is continuing on in its normal pace, despite the fact everyone is going to die. Like, it's interesting that the restaurants are open. It's interesting that the Chinese food is delivering, like the restaurant's delivering food. It's interesting in that respect, the idea that perhaps people would go through the motions of normality even in the face of extinction, I guess. But all the existential mumbo jumbo did nothing for me. Didn't care about it at all. Didn't feel like it was saying anything important or novel. And in fact, the fact that they used so much previous footage, including like interviews with Al Gore and stuff like that, tells me that you can't say anything really novel, because you're using stuff that's already been said. And yeah, you could collage it. You're creating a collage of some sort to try and say something new. I don't think they did. It was like a movie that to me was ultimately pointless. The characters weren't interesting enough for me to care about them. The actress playing Sky was not a very good actress at all. So you have a real weird imbalance with Willem Dafoe, who's a pretty good actor, and then this woman who's not a good actress, and they're the people you're supposed to watch for, you know, like 85% of this movie. And it just felt like it was trying to be important and failing to me. Maybe someone out there loves this movie and feels like it's legitimately saying something. I am not that guy.
Who are those people?
I don't know, but I bet they don't watch podcasts without pretense.
That's true.
They'd watch podcasts with a shit ton of pretense.
So, Eric, are you going to finish this movie then after hearing everything about it?
I'll skim through it.
Just walk away.
Well,
Eric.
Basically, if you're seeing any scenes of a pre-recorded message, because some of the stuff I cut out of my long ass notes, Willem Dafoe is like watching like videos and they're like remembering conversations. There's like the Sky and her mom talking. It's just, it doesn't really go anywhere. And even though it's the last day on Earth, you think it'd be exciting, you know, if we went around to more places, because this movie takes place a lot in that apartment, right?
Yep.
It doesn't go outside too much.
Right.
But it's just, what's the word? I think there was a good 30 minutes in this movie if it was totally recut. I'll be honest. I started thinking about recutting, and I'm like, this could be good if they established he's got a kid early. and he had a drug problem, and he's not doing drugs. Why is he not doing drugs? Oh, just so happens to be the last day on Earth, and he's still not doing drugs. That seems a little weird. He goes to his apartment with his crazy girlfriend, who he left his family for. Okay, that's neat. What does she do all day? She paints, and she's impatient, clearly, with the fans blowing and hair dryer to make the paint dry. I mean, the world's ending. She doesn't have a lot of time left. So he could have got something out of this, you know, and maybe cut out the sex scenes, because, like, I'm assuming you would have sex on your last day, because, like, why not? And then you go right into the guy with the dog. Very important. The guy who's feeding his dog a stick for the end.
I hesitate to say liked, but I appreciated the scene with his former drug-using friends and the conversation they had, where he's asking one of his buddies who used to shoot up with him all the time why he's insisting on staying sober. Because he's like, if there's any time to slide, now's the time to do it. This is it. And the guy was arguing about how he wanted to be, he wanted to be sober and coherent at the end. He wanted to witness everything at the end. And I thought, this is a little interesting, because you're getting to this argument about, is it worth it to witness it knowing you're going to cease existing the moment that this happens? Or is it better to go ahead and sort of slide into it being completely oblivious because you're drugged out of your mind? That to me was a more interesting concept, but it takes such a small part of the movie that it's not really explored very much. And I certainly thought that was a hell of a lot better than the Skype call with the awful musical performance.
Oh, yeah.
So the best part of the movie, you're saying, has no sky in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of already mentioned the whole thing about her not being a good actress. I like to think of myself I don't think of myself as sophisticated, but I like to think that I'm able to appreciate sophisticated things. And again, this felt like it was something that was trying to be sophisticated, but if it succeeded, I'm not sophisticated enough to realize it. And I would say skip it. It didn't do anything for me. However, I do have a masterpiece of a film for us to watch for next time.
Oh. Okay, what is that?
Robin Hood, The Ghost of Sherwood.
How long is the movie, and is it in English?
It's 1 hour and 29 minutes, and I don't know.
Can we please find out if it's in English or not?
I think it is, but here's the synopsis. While trying to resurrect Robin Hood and his merry men from beyond the grave, Maid Marian and Little John unwittingly turned them into the undead.
No, this is 1 hour and 56 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is 1 hour and 56 minutes. I accidentally had my cursor on a different film.
If you're picking it, it's your pick, and I can't really argue that. But that just makes me obviously terrified. This is going to take me weeks, but whatever.
Well, I love the first review.
I was just looking at those.
First review. So I saw the 1-star ratings and 687 users rated it 1.5 stars. That grabbed my attention. Could it be that bad of a movie? I like to watch B movies. They are funny and sometimes not that bad. So why not give Robin Hood, The Ghost of Sherwood a chance? Well, I did. Made it 20 minutes into the movie, and now I am writing this review. If you can make it past the bad acting and bad camera angles, I say go for it. Maybe this can be one of those movies you watch with friends, and whoever can watch the whole thing wins. I say good luck to the cast and crew to this flick.
Wait a second.
It was a nice try, but not to my liking.
So I'm really amused about the fact that apparently trivia on IMDb isn't vetted, or this is true. The trivia for this movie on IMDb is, reviled so much by audience and critics alike, the filmmakers were tried for war crimes and found guilty, sentenced to life in prison.
Did you found that interesting or not?
It's better than the only piece of trivia on 444 Last Day on Earth, which is... Oh, crap. Where did it go? Sharon Leigh picked out all of her own clothes that she wears in this film. That is the only piece of trivia for that movie.
Well, I have a feeling that that the trivia for Robin Hood Ghost of Sherwood is in fact fictional, because I know for a fact there is no such place as film prison.
Yeah. Well, also, this movie's in 3D. I wonder if I can find a 3D version.
Oh, dear God. I just like this other review here. It starts with caution, alcohol required. Be prepared for a slow, slow movie. The acting is stiff. The audio sounds like it was dubbed, and I have no idea how they roped Tom Savini into this. If you're watching this for the undead, they'd... Oh, I'm not going to tell that. It's a spoiler. What? Oh, I shouldn't have read that.
Kane Hodder is Little John.
Jason Voorhees? See,
yeah, you got another classic film slasher guy.
Oh, dear God. It's exciting and violent, it says. So, okay. Is this on YouTube so I can just watch it at 2x speed? Because I really don't want to do this.
I like how we're slowly losing all will as this goes on. We used to be pretty strong, remember? We used to go into these like ready for battle, and now it's just like, oh God.
Well, this is hour 56. I thought that today what got me through 4:44 was the fact it was only 82 minutes. I'm like, that's not a long time. It's an hour and 22. I can get through that. An hour 22. You know, I watch some good TV shows, and an hour 22 goes by real quick, right? Not a problem. But because it's not the movie's disjointed, it just doesn't have like a narrative. It's really nothing's happening. It's like the world's going to end, and there's a clock, and it's like, here's two people. Watch what they do. Like, that's what it was. So it was a long 82 minutes. But
well, I do want to note that, you know, I watched 4:44 before either of you did. And I gave you both an out.
Well, here's the deal. I have a holiday on Monday, so I will be watching this film on Monday.
I also have a holiday on Monday, so I will also be watching this film on Monday.
Well, enjoy your President's Day, because I also am off on President's Day, which I probably won't be wasting my time watching this piece of shit. Not till
no, late. You'll end up not watching it. We'll start recording on Wednesday. We're like yet another episode closer to having to endure Rock and Roll Frankenstein again. And meanwhile, Eric and I will be like, God damn it, you got to watch Ghost of Sherwood.
Yeah.
I will do my best to watch this before the next episode, but I don't know if I'm going to get through an hour 56 of anything. It's like, there's actually good TV for me to catch up on, and I have to watch.
Remember, there's, you know, you can log out of it. You don't have to watch the whole thing. All we ask is that you dedicate your full attention, honestly. You honestly dedicate your full attention for as long as you can endure. And at that point, when you've reached your point of endurance and you realize, like, I can't do this anymore, even if it's a minute and a half into it, you can walk away. I've walked away from several of the movies we've done. Actually, I never saw the end of Big Money Rustlers. I walked away from the Insane Clown Posse.
It's so memorable, since we were like, you don't remember the classic ending of Big Money Wrestlers? Like, okay, I don't remember what happened.
I also didn't watch the end of that, the murder mystery one that was directed by the guy from The Doors.
Oh, right. Oh,
I never I watched the end. Because remember, I asked you guys who was killed, and you gave me the name of the person who was killed. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Because I had stopped watching before that character had become a significant person in the movie. So it's okay. Like, I just ask for you to make an effort. I don't ask you to watch the whole thing. I mean, I think if all three of us at one point, without discussing it beforehand, without colluding on it, I think it'd be hilarious if it turned out that all three of us started watching a movie, came in to discuss it, and it was clear that no one got further than 10 minutes in.
Okay. What was that? It was a Bad Girl Island. That was one of your picks, Jonathan. Now, that movie was like just horrific throughout. It was just dumb. Yeah. But I was so glad I finished it, because it had that bizarre like message at the end. I forget exactly what it was.
It was about Cuban refugees. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like the whole movie, the whole movie's about like, is this woman a ghost? Is she evil? What's happening on this island? And oh, by the way, it's about refugees. It's like, what? Like that's what I was hoping 4:44 would do. That's what I was like, I can get through this maybe. Maybe
Bad Will Island is a tax dodge.
What I was hoping with 444 was, what if they're wrong? Okay? Like, if they're wrong and then nothing happens, there's some shit that went down during that day. And there has to be some kind of explanation for what's going on. And everybody's behavior will not be excused based on that. And I was thinking, okay, what if 444 happens in the middle of the movie? Because that would have been great. Like, okay, we're going to have like 40 minutes of black.
We were off by 8 hours, you know, and everything ends early. So I know I wasn't going to get into the mechanics of this because it's pointless to do so. Like, how the fuck does every person die at 4:44 a.m. around the world, no matter what they're doing? But seriously, how the hell does that happen? Like, if you apparently were in a bunker a mile under the ground, you still would have died the same as everybody else, because no one in this film at all attempts to find a safe haven to keep themselves alive. It is a foregone conclusion. Everyone will die. You might as well have had a magic genie appear and say, "Hello, children! At 4:44 tomorrow morning, you're all gonna die!" And then disappear. It would have been made just as much sense.
Okay. Let's look at it this way. Here's what I'm expecting, the science behind the movie on 4:44 Last Day on Earth. If you are anywhere, let's say 10 stories and higher, you're immediately dead at 4:44. Below that, around 4:45, and so on and so on. Like, there will be a time delay, okay? Now, the question of how the hell is it going to be attacking the whole world at the same time, considering they mentioned it's an ozone problem, which would require, in my estimation, you know, the whole thing would kind of get, I guess, thinner and thinner. Is that what they're saying? Like, it equally got thinner and thinner to the point where it's just, it seems unusual, because I think it starts with a hole. So if there's a hole, wouldn't it, like, the hole would grow? You can't swallow the whole thing. And that means, like, Canada would be dead first if the Earth was situated that way, or when the hole was. But you see what I'm saying? Like, so I got to think there's science here, that the whole damn thing is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. Okay? And there has to be some kind of, what could possibly swallow the Earth whole? Dragon. I'll go with the dragon. A space dragon. That's science, right?
Is melting the ozone from the outside.
That's no different from my magic genie alternate.
Okay, so
version
if
of
the ozone layer was getting thinner and thinner, whether there's a hole, that group of people should die first, I'd assume, right?
If they were directly even if you're talking about if the ozone layer suddenly disappeared spontaneously, you're still not talking, like, what's the mechanism that kills people?
There has to be an external threat that's actually happening. And the ozone layer would have been the protection for it. So maybe something else went wrong in space. There has to be another element. It's not just...
Otherwise it would just be ultraviolet radiation, right?
Yeah, this will take a while.
It would just be...
You would assume that, like, the entire world wouldn't be functioning as normally as it is if, you know, it was going to take 8 hours or 12 hours or whatever for just the ozone to be gone. Like, poof. Like, yeah. I would assume that that's a slightly slower process.
So again, like, it's clear that it's not important to the movie that this makes no sense. They don't address it. They don't acknowledge it. This is just the fact in the film. But when you step out of the film and you're just like, if the stuff that happens in the movie isn't interesting or profound enough to merit discussion, you start casting about for anything to talk about. And that's when you get to... Seriously, what killed these people? I like your idea, though, Ayaz, that people like 10 stories and up die at 4:44. And if you're lower down, it's like 4:45. Because I can imagine being on the ninth floor and just like reading the newspaper going like, Johnson's just died. There go the Johnsons right there. Don't have to listen to those goddamn people stomping around anymore. Get a minute of peace and quiet.
That's another thing I really enjoy this about the movie, that there's no like second hand anywhere. Like, is it 4:44 and like zero seconds? What if it's like 4:44 and 59 seconds? Wouldn't you this first 30 seconds have this moment of hope where you're like, maybe it's not gonna happen?
We're good.
What about who the hell was able to determine to the second the moment that everyone would die? Like, well, done the calculations. Math checks out. 4:44, we're fucked.
East Coast time.
Yeah. Like, wait, is that mountain time? No, East time. Oh, god damn.
I also enjoyed, there was like, they actually show a shot of outside of New York and there's a bridge and there's just very light traffic. And I'm thinking, would traffic be insane? Or would everyone have already planned to where they were going to be for that day? So it's like Christmas traffic. So there's not a lot on that actual day. So I couldn't quite tell if that was normal or strange. Do you guys have an opinion on how traffic would be on the last day on Earth?
I mean, I was amazed that there's not any real chaos going on in this film. I mean, you see little moments, but obviously the budget was low, so it's not like they could have afforded big scenes of chaos. But I would imagine that the limited amount of looting, and we do see one guy just casually commit suicide. He just leaps off his balcony and kills himself. I would imagine you'd see a lot more dramatic response to that, like things of that nature happening, because if everyone is being told absolutely with no hesitation that at 4:44 everyone's dead, you're either accepting that and thinking, all right, well, I'm going to make this last day count. And you also don't know how long people have known the deadline.
Right.
That's
what I was you wondering. Don't know. How long does everybody know? That would really influence my travel plans.
If it had been like
2 years, then I'm like, all right, well, I'll book a flight in like a month.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, though. Like, if you know a year ahead of time that it's going to be 4:44 on this date, then, you know, that's a lot different than, okay, well, we've run the calculations. Here's the bad news. This coming Thursday at 4:44 a.m. Eastern time, we're all dead. I think it all depends on that time frame, too, because it depends on how long people have had to process the information and to either come to terms with it or just completely live in denial either way. You get the feeling that it's been known for at least a while based upon all the bullshit that's on TV and radio at the beginning of this film. But there's no indication of how long people have known. So
I'm gonna
I think
I've got to guess. It's got to be under 2 weeks. There is no way in hell the rest of Manhattan is just fine, and there isn't like shit on fire already, and traffic is fine, and Skype is working. There's no way in hell Skype is working when the apocalypse is like a couple of years away.
It's not, Skype. Skype's not working right now.
Right. And we have an apocalypse, and that's going to happen in a couple of weeks at 4:44.
Yeah.
So that's central time, so we don't care about that.
I'm wondering about the people who live in places like Hawaii where it would be 11:44 the day before, and they'd be like, we were cheated out of a full fucking day.
I like trying to extrapolate more about this movie than this, because this movie doesn't give you any of these answers whatsoever. But again, I just enjoyed that infrastructure was working. And this is another bullshit analysis question. Why does one window in their apartment blow out at the end? They have more than one window.
That was their neighborhood service where a person runs around all the apartment buildings at 4:42 and throws a rock through one window of each apartment to alert them that they have 2 minutes left.
Maybe it was that landlord.
It's the 2 minute warning brick through a window. It's a classic in Manhattan.
It's either that or clearly it was the landlord who'd been sworn out by Defoe coming back and said, you know what? Fuck this building. I know it's going to blow up in a minute, but fuck it. Now he just threw something through the window just to scare these kids or kid, because the woman is significantly younger than Defoe. Yeah, maybe. But just what one window been, explodes.
What would have been great is that credits roll at the end of credits. Screen comes back up. It says 4:45, and then everyone just bursts into their apartment going, surprise!
And then it ends?
And that's the end.
I would have been fine with that.
like Cisco and it was like an epic prank on Cisco and Sky, a global prank. Like, especially if Al Gore were in the center of her surprise, that would have been hilarious.
I don't know. I think one of the most interesting characters in this movie is a newscaster who's explaining, I don't want to be here. I'm not going to be on air when we're all going to die. I got shit to do.
Yeah.
Which I really, he was still professional about it. But he didn't just, I really wish they'd given us the scene where he just got up and walked away, because it's just not seen very often. Although I'm wondering if they have some way to cycle the live cams. I hope they do, because I don't want the producer sitting there in the back and going, okay, cut to camera three. We're going to die in 2 seconds. Cut to camera one. And the bridge. And
can we please just end on a close-up of the American flag waving?
With a green sky.
The movie was dumb. You shouldn't watch it. End of story. So I watched a couple of movies on my way over to Hawaii. We flew from Atlanta to LAX, stayed overnight in Los Angeles, and then the next morning we flew LAX to Kona, which is on the Big Island. And so I finally saw Casino Royale, the Daniel Craig one, because I had never watched it. So finally watched that. Didn't really get what the big deal was, but I've never been a big James Bond fan. I watched The Martian, which I very much enjoyed. Liked it a lot. I like the book more, but I think the movie is a darn fine version of the story. I watched Pixar's The Good Dinosaur.
Took 6 years of development.
One of the weakest movies they've done, and I include Cars in that.
It makes Cars look good. It makes Cars look really good, actually.
I mean, it's a sweet film, but it does. There's not a single moment in that movie that's at all surprising. It is every movie trope, particularly like the Pixar movie tropes. Like, they need to get away from those. That was not great. I would not recommend it. And I watched the beginning and the end of the Minions movie, but fell asleep in the middle. But I feel pretty confident you could fall asleep and or wake up at any moment in that movie, and it would be just as blandly entertaining as any other moment. And that there's no real worry about missing any of it.
And I think have you seen any of those movies?
I saw The Martian. That one was good. I really enjoyed it, actually. I didn't see The Good Dinosaur, but I kind of wondered if it was crap because it didn't seem very heavily promoted from what I noticed. I didn't see many people like ranting about how awesome it was, which with the Pixar movie will happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say it was crap. I'd say it was certainly disappointing, particularly for a Pixar movie. Yeah. It was obviously inspired by Westerns, which is a cute idea, but they don't do enough with it for it to really pay off. Mm-hmm. And, it's kind of a ho-hum movie. Also, to me, it makes no sense how there's this whole thing that the good dinosaur character is sort of the runt of the litter of three dinosaur kids to this farming family of dinosaurs, and they have this whole thing about making your mark. The father has built a silo. I don't know how they managed to stack stones so well without having the use of opposable thumbs, but at any rate, they've built a really tall silo, and the father uses mud on his foot to imprint his footprint on the side of the silo. And this is a thing where he says, you know, when you accomplish something big, you make your mark on the silo. So the other members of his family all do this, but the Arlo, the character who's the good dinosaur, is kind of a fuck up. Doesn't manage. He's a scaredy cat. He's a runt, so he's not as strong or as fast as the other dinosaurs. But he really wants to make his mark. And then he gets lost. And then he has to try and find his way back to his home. And he eventually does find his way back. And then he makes his mark. Which makes me wonder, what the fuck did you do to merit that mark, you little asshole? Get out there in the field. Yay, you didn't die. Congrats. Guess what? Neither did the rest of your family, except for your dad, and you killed him. Spoiler.
Yeah, it had the Disney, we're going to kill a parent. I'm like watching this with my kid. I'm like, hey, it's got to be the dad this time, too. Fuck, you know, like I'm watching this with my boy. Like, don't kill the dad. Kill somebody else now. Kill the brother. Kill somebody else. Whatever. Because I asked him, like, are you sad? He's like, no. I'm like, okay. That was the saddest part of the movie for me. Was just that my son did not give a fuck that this dad dinosaur had died. I'm like, all right. Guess this doesn't affect
you. There wasn't enough there to have any emotional attachment to that character.
That's true. So
it was they made the dad the typical gruff but loving Western character. Right? Like he's not harsh to Arlo. It's not like he's super mean to Arlo, but he also doesn't give Arlo a ton of slack either.
So this movie took 6 years in development. They like scrapped the original script. They changed the whole cast, except one person. This thing's been in development hell for 6 freaking years. And so the movie they got, it's kind of like you ever take bread and burn it, and then you try to scrape off the burnt stuff, and you think you got something, but it's just not as good as if you just didn't fuck up the bread in the first place. That's what The Good Dinosaur is. It's like, you salvaged it, but it still kind of sucks, and they should have just never have bothered to do it in the first place.
Yeah. So, no,
try again.
I agree with that. Yeah. I'm hoping that, they've got a project where it's based off the Day of the Dead art style. Not the film series, but rather the Dia de los Muertos style. And my wife loves that art style. And I really like it too. I mean, it makes me think of Grim Fandango, which was one of my favorite adventure films back in the day. And I hope that that will be good, because Good Dinosaur was just really disappointing.
But it's a better movie than 444. I will say that.
Oh, hell yeah. No, for one thing, there are 37% fewer Willem Dafoe pubes in The Good Dinosaur.
Well, that's how they made the most realistic backgrounds in the world. The scans of Willem Dafoe pubes.
Well, you saw that big bushy forest off in the background in that one scene, right?
It's modeled on Willem Dafoe, which I really didn't need to ever see. So
yeah. Well, there's another Willem Dafoe movie where you see worse than that, but I'd have to look it up.
We're going
to
watch next?
What's that?
No.
Is it the movie we're going to watch next?
No. Willem Dafoe, as far as I know, is not in Robin Hood, Ghost of Sherwood.
Oh my gosh, I think I found a plugin that actually lets you watch Netflix faster. Oh, this is going to change everything.
Yeah, but you remember, you can't just initiate that from the get-go. You need to watch... When you start, you've got to watch it in regular speed.
Says you.
Yes, says me. Yeah, no, that doesn't making the experience last less time is by definition against the spirit of this whole endeavor.
Against the spirit. Now, yeah, that's fine. The letter of the law, though, no. But spirit.
Don't make me stop this podcast. I'll turn it right around.
Turn it around to do what? So you're going to make it 444 again? Is that what you're going to do?
Well, if you're really bad, I'll do that. But I was just saying, I'm going to tell you how to unclutter your life.
That's going way back. Way back.
Yeah.
Way back.
I'm now looking to see if I can figure out what the movie was I was thinking of that also has Willem Dafoe. So go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
No, I don't think anybody needs to know the answer to this. So we should not give you the time for that.
Yeah, no, I've got it. It's Antichrist.
I thought you were going to say it's Spider-Man.
No, Antichrist. Antichrist involves a terrible, terrible penile torture scene. I like how everyone just goes dead silent.
On that note, I think it's time to look to the future, and hopefully the future does not have any torture in it. Next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
Eric, I'm so sorry I didn't warn you about the good dinosaur's terrible penile torture scene.
I can't say anything to that.
I mean, I said I would watch it on a holiday, but that was a bad thing to watch on Valentine's Day.